Really?
Yep.
That could be
Good to go.
I think so easily.
Yeah.
All right. You know that one.
The host has arrived.
Hi, this is Jerry. Is anyone there? Hi, this is Jerry. Is anyone else online? Hello? Okay. Hi, this is Jerry. Is anyone else online?
Hey, Jerry. It's us and Juno.
Hey, good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours. It's a relief after last meeting.
Well, I had George here to lead me through it this time. he knows how to crack the whip.
Thank you, George. Hi, Jerry. This is Amy Jo here in Juno also.
Well, good afternoon. Good to hear you.
Hey, Jerry. It's Nancy Norman.
Hi, Nancy.
And Mary Siminski from CIPCA just joined.
Hi, Mary. It's Nancy here. Good to see you. Virtually.
Chad Parsons is on from the NANA also.
Hi, Chad. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hi there, it's Nancy and Juno.
Hi, Nancy. Harriet Drummond in Anchorage. How are you?
I'm great, Harriet. Thanks for joining us. We'll wait about 2 more minutes, and then we'll get everybody together.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Harriet. It's Amy Jo and Juno also.
Hey, Amy Jo. How are you?
All right. Wish you were here.
I'm done with Juno for a while. I love Juno, but I'm glad to be home.
I bet.
Hello, everyone. This is Nancy Norman in Juneau, Alaska. I'm here with Amy Jo Miners and Barbara Thompson and Aaron Hardin. And I'm going to begin by welcoming you all and doing a roll call, audio roll call, to see who we have online. Kim Bautista? Are you online, Kim? Okay, Dina Bishop. Nope, okay, April Blevins. John Klaus.
Present.
Thank you, John. Good to hear your voice. John Coghill.
Speaking here.
Nice to hear your voice. Thank you, Senator. Representative Drummond?
I'm here.
Great, thank you. Sue Hall? Daisy Kaczak? Mandy Malott?
I'm here. Thanks, Nancy.
You bet. Thanks, Mandy. Amy Jo?
I'm here.
Thank you. Marsha Olson?
I'm here.
Hi, Marsha. Chad Parsons?
I'm here.
Thank you, Chad. Lori Roth is not going to be able to join us today. She has brand new teachers attending. And Nicole Hsu will also not be able to join us today. Sandy Schreier Beaver. And Representative Spoonholz.
Hey, this is Ted Madsen. I work for Rep Spoonholz. She'll be joining at about 1:30, 1:45. I'm taking notes on her behalf, but I'm not planning on participating in the conversation.
Thank you very much, Ted. Mary Smithke.
Yes, I am here.
All right, thank you. How about Andy Tubner?
Andy Tubner's online.
Thank you, Andy, for joining us. Barbara Thompson?
Here.
Thank you. And Penny Vedla? And Wilfred Siebel. Okay, I'm going to go back. Kim Bautista?
I'm here. Thank you.
Hi, Kim. Nice to hear your voice. Dina Bishop? April? Sue Hull? Okay, Penny? Or Wilfred? All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I want to welcome you all. And Jerry Covey has also joined us in Anchorage, so welcome to Jerry. Deb Riddle, who is our Department of Ed staff person, is unable to be with us today, so Aaron Hardin has graciously stepped in to help us out from the department, so thank you, Aaron, very much for being with us. I also want to remind you that we are recording this session, and we're also broadcasting live, so I welcome those of you who are listening online and visiting with us. We have 3 10-minute breaks today during our audio conference.
That'll be on the agenda.
Jerry, was that you?
No, it was not.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we'll end today at 4 o'clock. Just a couple of protocol reminders. If you have a cell phone, could you please turn it to mute right now? When you're ready to speak, if you would please identify yourself before speaking and try to limit your comments to about 2 to 3 minutes so that we have equity of voice from all of our members. I think that's all for reminders. And I want to review our task. I'm going through our agenda that I emailed you today. So if you have that near you, you can follow along. Our big picture goal is to identify 2 or 3 transformative ideas that will amplify student learning for all of Alaska's students. I spoke yesterday, had the privilege of speaking to all the superintendents from the state to give them kind of an update on where we are and what we're doing. And basically what I told them our task was to put forward 2 or 3 ideas that would transform student learning 20 years from now. They sent their gracious support to us and are thankful for all of you for participating. Our recommendations will be passed along to the State Board of Education along with goals from the other committees. You can see those listed there. They'll be then forwarded on to the governor's office and the state legislature. So that's the process that we're going through. Our deadline for this is our last meeting will be the end of September, last week of September. And just so all of you know, we will be having another face-to-face meeting. That's on your smart sheet on line number 9. In red, so we'll have a wrap-up meeting in Anchorage. We hope that you're all able to attend and participate. That will be on October the 4th at the Denina Center, and more information about that will be forthcoming. We are to be focusing our reminders on the what, not the how. So our task is to dream big and think about what we might do to transform student learning. We are not being asked to consider any other changes except transformational changes. The definition of transformational change is that it must be systemic, apply to all students, schools, employees, communities. It may not require resources beyond our direct control, and it must be able to produce measurable results that can be benchmarked in higher performing states and countries. So with that, that's where we've been. Our goal for today is to come up with our 3 goals or recommendations. We've been referring to these as recommendations. We're going to start referring to these as goals so we can hyphenate that, goals, recommendations, so that we're all clear about we're talking about the same thing. And we last meeting we put those all of our ideas into what we call buckets. So we have 3 buckets, and we're going to take those today, and by the end of our meeting at 4 o'clock we'll have wordsmithed those into some closer draft language to what we're trying to get to. I'd like to pause now and see if anyone has any questions or clarifications over what our task is for today. And I'll just open the floor for anyone who'd like to comment.
Nancy, hi, this is Dina. I'm not sure if at the beginning we all
talk about who was online. I got on a little bit later, but I did just want to clarify that you said we're going to have measurable goals instead. It sounded online as miserable goals.
We're hoping not to have miserable goals.
Right. And I know all of those people online think the same. That's what we heard. But then I thought, measurable. There you go.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for clarifying. And yes, I did do a roll call, Dina. And so thanks for letting us know that you're here. We appreciate your participation.
Nancy, this is Penny Vadla. I'm also here.
Hi, Penny. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Any other clarification about our targets for today, our deliverables for today? Okay, the next thing I'd like to do is to, one of the things that we had requested from Jerry Covey, who is directing all of our efforts, was some type of template or exemplar so that we would have a more clear idea of how we were to format our recommendations and our goals. And so thanks to Jerry, we have that. I attached that in your email that I sent to you. If you could take a look at page 2 of that document, the title of it says Facilitator Guidance for Goal and Rationale Development. And halfway down page 2, you'll see in bold letters, it says strategic objective, promote safety and well-being. Now, this is an example for the Safety and Well-Being Committee. Our committee is Amplify Student Learning. So our strategic objective will say Amplify Student Learning. But underneath that strategic objective, you'll see goal number 1. And this is an exemplar. It doesn't mean that it's exemplary. It just means it's an example or a template that we might use. So the goal is our recommendation. This is the what of what we're trying to accomplish. And we have 3 of these that we have kind of narrowed things down to. So within the Safety and Well-Being Committee, they one of their buckets is ACEs, which is the Adverse Child Experiences, Trauma-Informed Instruction. So you can see that their goal might be to provide professional development on adverse childhood experiences to all individuals pursuing Alaska Teaching and Administrative Certificates and to all certificated educators who are employed by Alaska school districts. So that might be one of their goals. In addition to the goal language that we will be forwarding to the State Board of Ed, we will also include rationale language. The rationale is the why of what we're recommending. So we have 2 parts, the what and the why. We have been asked not to focus on the how. Having said that, there are some committees that will be including an action plan. And on page 3, you'll see Jerry's direction for an action plan. If we choose to do that, we will talk about that at our September, I think it's September 29th meeting. And we can be formulating some steps if we would like to forward that along with our goals and our rationale to the state board. So I'd like you to be thinking about if that's something that you feel is important for our committee to include. We certainly can do that. If you think it's going to muddy the water, we can certainly pull back from that. As you see from our direction from Jerry, it is absolutely optional. We are not required, nor are we encouraged to develop action plan recommendations. So I'd like to pause there and allow you to reflect on the section here of the format that we are requested to use. I'll open it up to the committee members now and ask for any questions that you might have or any clarification that you'd like.
This is John Klaus at Southwest Region School District. Is it the expectation that we have one goal for each of these three buckets?
Yes. It doesn't have to be. However, that's kind of the direction that we're starting to aim. But it could be, John, that if the committee would like, that we can develop a goal for, we can develop three goals for one of the buckets and eliminate the other two buckets. It's entirely up to the committee. Any other questions or clarification?
Yeah, Harriet Drummond has a question.
Go ahead, Harriet.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm looking at our deliverables where it says transformational change must not require resources beyond our direct control. And then I see that one of our goals, or at least the conversation, has been make early learning available for everyone. And I'm just, I'm a huge fan of universal preschool. But at the same time, that requires resources beyond our direct control. So I just want to clarify. I just need clarification on what that means.
Thank you. My understanding, and I'll let Jerry add comments after I do, is that we can recommend anything that we'd like, and especially if we feel that it's going to be transformational and important for student success in the next 10 decades, two decades in Alaska. Having said that, because we don't have control over budget, we can rely on Commissioner Johnson's comments that frequently when things are well articulated, the money will follow well-developed plans and recommendations, because they are so immediate, the needs are so immediate. So, Jerry Covey, would you also add to my comments, please, or disagree with me?
Thank you, Nancy. First of all, I agree with you, and thank you, Representative Drummond, for your question. That's a great question. The issue here is that you develop recommendations based upon absolute priorities of yours. But what we want to avoid with all of the Alaska Challenge committees is putting the recommendations in a position of saying, well, can't do this because. We can't do this because we don't have the money. We can't do this because we can't get agreement, et cetera, et cetera. Commissioner Johnson, I believe, nailed it when he said, if ideas are of such significant value that people adopt and embrace them, then we're in a position to maybe reallocate existing resources or find partnerships that provide additional resources. So that's the mindset when we say we can't make recommendations that require resources beyond our control, if that's helpful. Thank you.
Representative Drummond, does that help to clarify?
Yeah, that helps. I'll keep it in mind. Thanks.
You bet. Any other questions or clarification needed?
Yes, Penny Vadla, Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I had a question because I'm on my summary May 23rd sheet, and then I'm on the August 1st working document. And our buckets are related to success, alignment, and student-centered learning, and then there is more detail on the, I think it's a five-page document. That's what we'll be working on today primarily, right? Those three goals.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
You bet, Penny. Thanks for clarifying. All right, I'd like to move on to page two of our agenda and do a go around. I call this a whip. I'll call on each of you. We'll do this alphabetically by last name. And this will allow each of you 2 to 3 minutes to make comments just in general. Specifically, if you look at your agenda, I'd like you to number one, introduce yourself, tell where you're from and what your role is. We have a couple of members who haven't been able to participate up until today, and that will help them to identify each of you. Also, number two, if you'd refer to your May 23rd summary notes, the top of page one, which was an email attachment from me, it's also in our smart sheet, row 12. And if you would comment, please, about the three buckets. I'd like you to comment about your general thoughts about if they represent the direction that we want to take, are they an accurate synthesis of our work so far, and if not, what are we missing or what should we revise or delete, add or change, or if we should rename these. So Kim Bautista, would you begin our comment section, please? And please feel free also when I call on you to say pass. You don't have to comment, and you can hold off until you've heard other people's comments and chime in at the end. So Kim, would you begin, please?
Sure. This is Kim Batista. I'm a principal at Anchorage School District and representing the Alaska Association of Elementary Principals. I concur with the buckets that we've synthesized so far, and I do believe we're moving in the right direction, so it's exciting to be part of this. So, and then I'm going to defer to others to have more comments.
Thank you, Kim. Dr. Bishop, would you comment, please?
Sure. I'm Dina Bishop, and I work with the former speaker in ASD and I'm the superintendent. And, you know, just as a disruptor a little bit, you know, I think our buckets are absolutely what is going to transform, you know, what's going to make us different. I mean, part of it is really, you know, when you talk about transforming, it's really about the design thinking, not just the problem solving of, you know, what are our problems. It's like, how do we design it? And I know we're not going to talk about the how, but, you know, probably asking somebody beyond ourselves, like crowdsourcing this to our students might be beneficial, meaning what is it that they want and see when we want those goals? Do they make sense for them, and you know, what is it that they do in this process? It's just my, just to add in something else about having transformational design, or transformation would really is talking about the design as well as just those outcomes.
Thank you, Dina. That's great input. April, are you online? Okay. And John Klaus, would you comment, please?
Yeah, John Klaus, Federal Programs at Southwest Region School District. I'm happy with the buckets. I'm curious to see how our conversation today leads us to one and only one objective for each bucket, considering how broad they are. And so I look forward to working on that.
All right. Thank you, John. Senator Coghill.
Yes, good afternoon. And my apologies, I have not been able to attend previously, so I'm learning kind of as we go. But part of my thinking is to listen as intently as I can. One of the things that we talk about in the legislature often is our success rate as far as achievement, and we compare it broadly. So as we listen, we're listening for that when it comes to student learning. So the buckets look like it gets there. Probably when I think about sitting in the student seat, I think about how relevancy means, what it means to them. And so as I'm kind of coming up to speed with what everybody's been doing, I'll be listening probably with those two things in my ears. Appreciate the volumes of work that have been sent to me, and I'm just going to confess I'm behind the curve studying.
Thank you, Senator. We appreciate that you're willing to donate even more time to this important task. Thanks so much. Representative Drummond, would you comment, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sort of going to pass because I missed most of the May 23rd meeting due to other commitments. But I'm a bit concerned that goal number two is so broad and includes so many systems. I mean, education is complex and includes an enormous amount of information and effort. I will listen.
All right, thank you. Most of these actually are pretty complicated and very broad. And so one of our challenges, of course, is to try and weed out the kind of the granular level of stuff and sift out those big ideas that perhaps can umbrella the gist of what our direction or recommendation might be. It necessarily may mean that we take some things out. So part of today's sifting, Harriet, is also going to be prioritized. And you are dead accurate in terms of the breadth of some of these buckets that, as you recall from our, for those of you who weren't at our April meeting, we had several dozen, maybe even 100 sticky notes. So these ideas are still out there, and we still will be sifting through some of those, not only trying to combine, but also trying to start to delete some of those as certain priorities rise to the top. So thank you very much for clarifying that. Sue Hull, are you online? Okay. Let's see. Mandy, would you comment, please?
Yes, this is Mandy in Juneau, and I agree with the goals. I have that similar feeling around the bite that we're taking off with all of these, but I particularly like the wording for goal three and just looking with that culturally responsive piece to the traditional knowledge that our state offers. And I think it was Senator Coghill who mentioned the word motivating for students. And so I really feel that as that curriculum being really relevant and motivating, and appreciate that.
Thank you, Mandy. Amy Jo, would you comment, please?
Yes, this is Amy Jo Miners here in Juneau, and as a teacher, I represent the NEA seat, I guess. And I concur with three goals.
All right, thank you. Marcia Olson.
Yeah, hi, Marcia Olson, representing the Department of Labor. I work up in Anchorage. I'm an education specialist / CTE coordinator / workforce grants administrator, I guess. Yeah, I concur that the three goals are what we've talked about. And yes, I'm also interested to see how we narrow those down and get a bit more specific for our final product. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcia. Chad.
Good afternoon. I am Chad Parsons from Nanana, parent of students in the Nanana School District. I've reviewed the three goals, and I think that's where we should start. And we've got a little bit more to you.
All right, thank you, Chad. Lori Roth won't be able to join us, as I said, nor will Nicole, and Sandy's not online. Ted, would you like to make a comment for Representative Sponholz?
I'm good right now on the commenting front. I'm just taking notes right now to send to the representative when she is able to get online.
All right, thank you. Mary Siminski, would you comment, please?
Sure. This is Mary Siminski. I am a parent on the committee with two daughters in the Sitka School District. However, we're currently on the Kenai River fishing, and I also agree that the buckets were what we came up with, and I am somewhat daunted by whittling it down and getting to the essence of our goals. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary, and thank you very much for taking time away from your subsistence fishing and finding a telephone. I know that isn't always easy. Appreciate it. Thank you. Andy Tubner, would you comment, please? Okay, we might have lost Andy. Barbara Thompson, would you comment, please?
Yes, I'm Barbara Thompson. I'm with the Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development. I like the three goals, but I was going to say almost exactly what Representative Drummond said about goal number two. I struggle with that one more than I struggle with one and three. And so I look forward to whittling that one down or getting to the core essence of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Penny, your turn.
Yes, this is Penny Vadla, Kenai Peninsula Borough School District board member. And I wanted to say, number one, thank you for all the information and documentation that you sent our way that could give us way too much reading, but it's been really informative. And I like these three goals as well. And I see how one relates to the next one and how altogether, they will really be incremental in making transformational change if we decide to keep all three. With the goal number three, student learning, I've been reading a lot with the Vermont that how personal learning is working in Vermont, and the other one on restructuring schedules and so forth, and several other documents. And I would like to see us have a focus in there. And I know student-centered learning includes personalized learning, but I think so much of that will help us with our systems alignment and our accountability when those two are connected. And so I hope that somehow personalized learning is morphed into that goal three. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at the end of the day.
Thank you, Penny. Just to remind the committee members, during our main objective at our last meeting was to decide what to hand off to, if there was anything that we could hand off to other committees. And I attached that as one of the attachments to you. Penny and I visited on the phone a couple days ago, and the gist of our conversation was what happened to personalized learning, because that was a big chunk of what we had talked about in April. After visiting with Bob Wicker, who is the facilitator for the Modernization and Finance Subcommittee or Committee, Bob assured me, and I talked to him again yesterday, personalization is going to be their number one goal or recommendation. And so I had sent him all the information. He assured me that the notes that you all had made, your sticky notes and so forth, would be incorporated into their recommendation. However, having said that, what I shared with Penny is that certainly student-centered learning probably will include some type of personalization. And as Dina was saying, you know, asking kids what is it that they want. So when we get to goal number three, we certainly can include language relating to personalization if it's the wish of the committee that we do that. We can put it in. But it will take, I think, a different direction for our committee, focused more probably on what students want to learn, how they learn it, when they learn it, and why they're learning it. And the mechanism for that will be coming from the Modernization Committee. So I think that hopefully helps to sort out in your minds the differences between the student learning recommendation and the Modernization Finance recommendation. Jerry, would you add to or clarify anything that I just said?
Thank you, Nancy. I think your explanation was very accurate, and I also had the opportunity to engage with you and Bob Wicker regarding the handoff and regarding the specificity of what modernization will look like versus the work that your committee is doing. I concur with everything you've said.
All right, thank you. Penny, do you have anything to add or any other comments relative to that?
No, I think you've summed it up really well. I just want to, since our charge was student learning, to me that's so important because that's really our goal for the committee, and I realize it takes finance and it takes modernizing our materials and our curricula, and it takes professional development and so many things, but that's why I wanted you to know that I think that's really essential to wherever it gets placed. I just wanted it to be there, and I thought it was ours, but I understand that the modernization really does tie in, and it will work really well.
All right, thank you. Wilfred, are you online yet? Okay, and Sue Hall, have you joined us?
Yes, I'm here.
Great, Sue. Would you like a chance to comment, or do you want to wait until a bit later?
Well, I first want to say I apologize for being a little bit late calling in, and you'll need to be a little patient with me. I'm on the road in down in the lower 48, and my cell coverage isn't that good. So if I don't respond, you'll know I must be out of service. But I think what you're asking me is to comment on what you sent to us, and I like the three things that were sent to us, and I think the committee's right on target. So is that the kind of comment you wanted from me?
Yes. Thank you, Sue. That's perfect. We want you to be safe.
Oh, I'm not driving.
Okay. Good. That's good. We don't want to read about you in the newspaper. Okay. What we're going to do next is we're going to take a 10-minute break. And the clock on my computer says 1:35, so we're going to come back together at 1:45. And during this 10-minute break, besides getting a drink of water or whatever you need, this is a working break. So what that means is I'd like you to refer to your August 1st working document, taking a look at goal number 1, page 1. And it's also in your smart sheet row 6 as an attachment. I'd like you to be thinking about, reflecting on, what are your thoughts about how this goal might be worded. That's the main thing that we're going to be talking about when we come back together at 1:45. And you'll see underneath the 10-minute break, it says Goal 1 Discussion. So I'll be asking each of you what your thoughts are about how goal number 1 should be worded. I've got Aaron here, and Amy Jo and I are all taking notes, so we will try and capture your ideas. If it's possible for us to synthesize these during the time that you're speaking, we will do that. If it's not possible, then we'll do that individually after we hang up from this meeting. We also will be looking at if you have anything that pops into your head as a key element of the rationale for this goal, then please just toss it out. We'll capture it. We're not going to wordsmith the rationale, but I want to not close down any of your ideas. I want to capture those so that our next meeting, which is August 29th, we'll be working on the rationale for each of these goals. So today, if that pops up, just say, I have an idea for the rationale. I want it captured. I don't want to lose it. If you don't, that's just fine. But primarily what we'll be working on when we come back after break is trying to clarify the wording for recommendation or goal number 1. Does anyone have any questions or clarifications before we go for our break?
This is Amy Jo, and I just want to clarify, Nancy, that's page 2 of the agenda that you sent that has goal 1 discussion.
Page 2 of the agenda, correct.
Okay,
and
thank you.
And it says goal 1 discussion. That is correct. Thank you very much for clarifying that. And you'll also be looking at the August 1st working document, page number 1. And that'll be kind of our worksheet. You can write all over that. There's some suggestions. We've captured on page 1 a lot of the comments and so forth that you all had made in previous meetings. So that's kind of there as reminders. None of what we do today has to come from that. It can be generated brand new. So that's kind of what we're going to do. It's 1:40 now, so we'll come back together at 1:50. And if you are in a room where you haven't put your phone on mute, if you could do that, please, while you're out, and we'll come back together at 1:50. Thanks very much.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? All right, welcome back. Thank you for taking a short break there. And my alarm clock is telling me that it's time for us to participate here. I want to remind you that I do have my cell phone here, and that if you need to text me a message, that I am checking my messages. So my cell phone number is area code 612-618-9999. And if you need to send me a text message, I will review those. So our task now in this next chunk is to try and come up with some possible language that we could forward to the State Board of Education as a goal or recommendation. And with that, Barbara Thompson, would you please go first with your thoughts and comments relative to the wording of goal number one?
Again, this is Barbara Thompson, and I like that the possible language for goal number one includes knowledge, skills, and attitudes, and whether or not we say clearly articulate or define is totally a wordsmithing kind of a thing. But the one thing that I wanted to not lose, and am thinking if it doesn't go in the possible language for goal one, would maybe go in the rationale for goal one, is the whole issue of civics education. That could be considered knowledge and skills or attitudes. I don't necessarily want to have a laundry list of things up in the language for goal number one, but I just don't want to lose that part of a person becoming a good citizen and understanding of their community and their state and the nation and the world. I know that some of those I mentioned in the 13 Essential 21st Century Skills article, but I just want to make sure that it's still captured. I feel strongly about the whole civics education stuff. So I'm just throwing that out as a possible language for the rationale.
All right. Thank you very much. Sue Hull, would you, as our co-chair, Barbara is one of our co-chairs, and Sue Hull is our other co-chair, would you speak next, please? Are you on in range, Sue? Okay, probably not. All right. Penny, would you go next, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
I actually liked what Wilfred put down here. I didn't know if we should expand it more or if I was getting more into the rationale. But some things that I was thinking about based on all the reading that we did, I think that, and maybe I could also be down in goal three now that I'm looking at this, but I just wrote student success is preparing students to think critically, communicate and collaborate effectively, possess a broad knowledge base, and these are in no particular order, master and utilize 20th century skill technology skills, and engage in developing a flexible learning path on personal interests, passions, and goals. So that might be a little lengthy, but that's what I was thinking about, and I do think some of that might be down in three, but...
Okay, thank you. And Penny, can you capture what you said and send it to me in an email, please?
Yes, I will. You want me to do it right now?
Yes, please. That'd be great. And if you have Erin's email, if you can copy her, that'd be great. If you don't worry about it. I'll forward it to her. I don't think you need to worry necessarily about whether this is going with goal number one or number three. I think the intent... My reading of the intent of the committee is that goal number one is kind of goal number two relates to goal number one, and goal number three relates to goal number two, which relates to goal number one. So I think that it's perfectly okay that it's mentioned in goal one and then clarified or taken into depth in goal three. So I don't think that it necessarily muddies the water at all. One of the things that I do, if Sue Hull, anytime you get online, jump right in here. But one of the things that Sue talked about relative to this, so I'm going to try and capture what she said, is that it may not be something that we want to tackle for this committee, is to actually define what this, what the knowledge, skills, and attitudes necessary are that perhaps we say to the state board that the recommendation or the goal is that the board or someone, a committee, clearly articulate what the knowledge, skills, and attitudes necessary are. However, then the state board could pull together a team or a group or students, as Dina was suggesting, and send this out to various groups and ask them what they feel is important, and then the board could take that and turn it into some type of document. So it could be that this committee just recommends that it be clarified, define what it is that we expect for student success, and perhaps, as Barbara suggested, then in the rationale, say things like some of the 13 essential skills, or perhaps something related to student success, et cetera.
This is Sue. You did a very nice job. I would just add to that, I would hate to see us just rely on things from the past, or, you know, I think that the work that's going on across the nation and globally, people are really taking a close look at what are the skills needed for the future. And so I just, I don't have a problem with the committee making suggestions about things to be part of it, but unless we have significant time to look at really what are the right things to be expecting, you know, we might want to defer that to some future group. But the important thing is that we need to take a look with fresh eyes and say, what are the things that kids are going to need 10, 20, or even 30 years ahead as best we can, you know, project, so that we're sure that we're preparing kids for the world in which they'll live. So I thought you did a nice job.
Thank you very much, Sue. Andy Tubner, would you like to comment or give us some wordsmithing on goal one? Okay, how about Mary Siminski?
Yes, this is Mary. And I don't really, I apologize, I don't have any real clear wordsmithing for getting goal number one out, but the rationale, of course, was a little bit easier for me to develop, and that was just that we recognize that learning slash education takes many forms, and that it is exceedingly important to be all-encompassing when we define what learning is and how it takes place. But I don't know how to make goal number one reflect that rationale, I guess, wording-wise.
No, that's perfect, Mary, and that's exactly why I think it's important for us to have this kind of parking lot for the rationale ideas, because I do think these do relate, as Barbara Thompson was saying, with the civics education, it's kind of related. So thank you very much. I think that's those are really important and good ideas, and no apologies necessary. Good ideas. Thank you very much. Ivy, are you online? Would you like to comment?
Oh, yes, I am online. Sorry about that. I really liked was it Sandy that went first?
Penny.
It was Penny. I liked a lot of what Penny had to say. I feel like, you know, she covered a lot of what I was thinking about with regard to sort of some of the critical thinking skills, the, you know, the variation that people need in, you know, different people need in order to sort of find a path forward, and then also making sure that that students are prepared with skills for the future. I've been, you know, thinking a lot about making sure that kids that graduate from schools in Alaska are prepared to build the economy of tomorrow, which might include, just to get off the path for a second here, which might include somebody in Uniliquid being a coder developing software for clients in San Francisco, you know. I feel like, you know, she covered a lot of those things, but I don't have anything really new to add there.
But you did, Ivy, add some new things, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. If you have those, Ivy, written down and are able to forward those in an email to me or to Erin, that would be very helpful, and we'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Great.
Chad, could you please comment and your thoughts?
Sure. I have some proposed words. Take them, leave them, modify them as you see fit. But one of the things that I kind of jammed out on the keyboard was successful students will be flexible, applying solid critical thinking skills and problem-solving strategies, incorporating efficient collaboration as both leaders and team members while maintaining awareness of civic responsibilities.
Lovely. You have a talent, sir, with words. I noticed that about during our last meeting, too. Is it possible for you to send that in an email either to me or to Erin, please?
You bet.
Great, thank you. And would you mind reading it one more time also?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm going to add something as well, because I think it's important. I incorporated the word cultural, because I think that bears relevance specifically in our communities. Okay, successful students will be flexible, applying solid critical thinking skills and problem-solving strategies, incorporating efficient collaboration as both leaders and team members while maintaining awareness of cultural and civic responsibilities.
Nice. Thank you. Very well done. Marsha Olson, do you have any comments or thoughts for us?
Just a thought on the part of the rationale, and I can email this to you. Something about moving away from the college for all mentality or the implied hierarchy of college versus non-college philosophy, and moving towards a more of a philosophy of that the student should be prepared for his or her next steps, whatever those may be for that particular student.
Nice. Thank you very much, Marsha. I think that captures very nicely some of the hard work that you all did in April. And thank you. We don't want to lose sight of that. That was well said. Thank you very much. Amy Jo.
I really like Chad's language, and I also liked Ivy's bit on building the economy for tomorrow. So if we can combine those two, I'd be happy.
All right. Thank you. Mandy?
Oh, gosh, this is really fun, and I appreciate hearing everyone's perspectives, because it's sort of like we're tying these things, we're weaving them together already with some of the civic citizens piece and that Barbara shared into Chad's statement. So I like Chad's statement. I also, this isn't necessarily for the wordsmithing, but the gist of our expectation here is that I like how it leads to that students will own their education, and what we would be doing is providing them the environment to do that, and that comes back to that self-motivation and really helping students get there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mandy. Could you forward that, if you have it written down, could you forward that in the email, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Let's see. Representative Drummond, do you have thoughts or comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, hold on. I'm thinking that the student outcomes for success are for older students. I'm trying to see where we channel the youngest students towards that. I like Wilfred's definition in that students have the ability to drive their own education, but at what grade level can one drive one's own education? When we have statements in here like half of all kindergarten students arrive at school not ready to learn. So I want to make sure that we keep the youngest in goal one.
Thank you. That's really good feedback. I've got it highlighted in bold on my notes here. It's really important. Having spent a majority of my career working with these youngest kids, it's really very easy to include kids and not only planning what they want to learn about, but also helping them to identify what their strength areas are, help them identify what it is they think they need to work on, come up with plans, and so forth. So thank you very much, Harriet, for reminding us that we need to be specific about making sure we have language so that somebody doesn't just think about this as an exiting 12th grader. Very much appreciated. Thank you. Senator Cockhill, do you have comments or thoughts?
Thank you. Pretty difficult challenge. Everybody's input is so good. I like Chad's input immensely. And I'll have to actually ponder Chad's a little further. The only reason I'm saying that is in the simple language that is put forward here on clearly articulating, one of the things I was thinking is how do you include in the rapidly changing world kind of the need to have a rapidly flexible circumstance in the school buildings. For example, the debate on whether the four walls are the best, whether the group thing. So I'm looking for ways to think about, that the goal three, basically, the student participation to be a part of this goal. But maybe I'm ahead of the game a little bit. But the skills and attitudes have to be, kind of data-driven, while the environment has to be reasonably acceptable to the student. And I was just trying to think through how that might fit in that language. So I'm thinking out loud. Sorry, guys. You've got me engaged in the conversation, and I'm probably miles behind you, but I thought I'd just add what I'm pondering.
No, thank you very much, Senator. Our committee is pretty good about thinking out loud and the way that you just did, and I am very aware of, as a former teacher, of all different kinds of learning styles of different adults. And so your comments and your thinking out loud, I'm sure, sparked ideas in the minds of others of us on who are listening. So no apologies necessary. Thanks for participating.
Thank you.
Dr. Nancy?
Yes, who's this?
Nancy, this is Sue. I just wanted to comment. Senator, I think you're right on, and I think if we look at number two, our second recommendation, that it deals a little more with the nimbleness of the system and the need for the system to be both aligned but flexible and adaptable. And of course, you can't accomplish the goal unless the system supports it. So I think you pointed out a really important thing. Thanks.
Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Penny Vadla, Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Senator Cockhill, I think you did that brilliantly, and actually Chad and Ivy and Mary adding different information in as well. I think the important thing, and I think Nancy, you said it earlier, is the student success is dependent upon the systems that we align and how the accountability and the data drives those successful systems, that whether we decide to have them be student learning, centered learning, or whichever direction we go, each one of these is a really significant component in this wheel that will enable us to get where we want to go. So I like all these ideas. It'll just be honing them all to simplicity or simplistic language. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. John Klaus, would you comment, please?
Yes, John Klaus here, Southwestern School District. I think as far as what Chad had put together, I think is very sound. I like what Wilfred had put together as well as far as the definition, but I guess I'm kind of stuck on are we defining this goal or are we trying to come up with something that's measurable? And that's where I've kind of got some notes about how do we find something that's measurable yet encompasses student, you know, everything involved with the student outcomes for success.
And would you go ahead, John, and think out loud or read us your notes there? So I'd like to hear your ideas, please.
Just some ideas that I threw down was, you know, providing CTE exposure to all students K-12, creating ILP systems that all districts can use to help students achieve outcomes for success. Pathway developments for students who want to lead a successful subsistence lifestyle versus those who want to go to college versus those who are interested in welding. And maybe that's more how to, but that's where my mind's at.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, that could be language that fits in this rationale. It also might be language that gets sorted into goal number 3, but it's important language. Could you please email those comments or notes or thoughts to me, please? And I don't want to lose track of that thinking.
Will do.
Thank you very much. Dina, do you have thoughts or comments?
Really, I think kind of going from the back of the alphabet to the beginning allows that a lot of the comments were already made. And just the same, and when we look at the one, the ideas that I have, then they connect to goal number 3 and just more what Sue said, that flexibility, nimbleness, new word is, you know, the agility or having, you know, our industry be agile as well, just because we can't define it for all kids right now, just because they're all different from all different places of Alaska, but I don't think we can define it right now because 5 years from now, there may be what Senator Coghill talked about. There's not going to be walls on what we're asking them to do or places to be. You know, the learning is going to be much different. So I would add, I know we're talking about alignment and accountability, but it's really for goal number 2. It'd be more about policy as well that allows for those things to happen. And so while we want to create those standards, you know, for amplifying student learning, allowing policy that allows customization or nimbleness to Sue Ho's point are just some of the ideas. But every time I looked at this one, I just jumped to the next one because they're all interconnected.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dina. How about Kim? Do you have any comments?
No, I concur with Dina that, you know, Chad and Ivy and Harriet all brought in great, great analysis. I love how you guys synthesized it down. Thank you so much. So I really like Harriet making us keep perspective of the young learners and how this is going to apply to them and not just the end result for an exiting senior.
Okay, great. Thank you. Jerry Covey, comments?
Yes, thank you, Nancy. I would just like to compliment everyone on their work. It's not my role to participate necessarily in these. It's better for me to listen and understand where you're going, and I'm very appreciative of the work that each of you are doing and the direction this is taking. I think it certainly is moving in the direction that the commissioner had hoped for and the state board had hoped for. One final thought, as we move forward, and The reason that you are being asked to focus on the what and not the how is the how comes after the what, obviously, and as these ideas come forth and are addressed by the state board, then the attention of the commissioner and the department and his resources will be focused on how do we make this happen. And as some of you have mentioned, that will mean significant engagement from many Alaskans, many more Alaskans, both inside the education system and outside, so that we can develop appropriate ways to accomplish the goals that you set forth. So I'm very pleased, and I'm excited by what's happening, and I will continue to listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Okay, here's what we're going to do is Erin and I will collect all your comments, and I will post these on our Smartsheet, and there is a section on the Smartsheet where you can go in after you read these and you can comment. There's like a, it looks like a little chat bubble or a talking bubble. It's the third column in from the left-hand side. And so as you go through and read this following our meeting today in the next week or so, please comment, change things around. You can reply to other people's comments and so forth. I will also send these to you in an email for those of you who are more comfortable with that format. And I can work in any format that you would like. And so I will take your comments via email as well. If you prefer to phone call, that's also a possibility. Several of you have called me, and I'm happy to synthesize your comments in that way as well. Okay, so on my computer it says 2:17. So what we're going to do is take another 10-minute break. Again, this is another working break. I'd like you please, our task, I'm looking at page 2 of my agenda. The task during our break is for you to refer to your August 1st working document. And this time we're going to be looking at goal number 2, which is on page 2 and 3. And we're going to be, when we come back together after our 10-minute break, we'll be doing a similar discussion. Getting your thoughts about how we might word goal number 2. Also, as we just did with goal 1, if you have any ideas to add to the brainstorm list of key elements that would kind of go into the rationale, that would be great. So this will be a working break. It's 2:18. We'll come back together at 2:28. Thank you. Hi, friends. We are back after break, and hopefully you all have had some think time and some reflection time. I'd like to start this time with Kim at the top of the alphabet. And Kim, would you please comment on what your thoughts are about how goal number two might be worded, or if you have any ideas to add to a brainstorm list of key elements relative to the rationale for this goal. And goal number two relates to perhaps systems alignment, accountability, and assessment. So would you please go ahead?
Okay, I'm going to pass, okay? I was busy on something else. I apologize.
No worries. Please, I'm going to mark your name, and if I forget to come back to you, please, will you jump in? Dina, how about you? Do you have thoughts? Okay. How about John Klaus?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay.
John Klaus here, Southwest Region School District. This one's pretty big, but it seems to me as I look at all of the conversation ideas, you know, a PK for all students in the state would be something I think would be transformative and beneficial 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Access to various instructional models for all students and/or methods so that we can meet those student outcomes that we were talking about.
Do you have that written down, John, in a those comments in a format that you could screenshot to me or email to me?
I will email those to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's see. Sue Hull, do you have a comment? Okay. Harriet, do you have any comments? Senator Coghill?
I cut the comment. It was on goal two, right?
Yes, please.
So the first thing that sticks out in my mind is the accountability and assessment are really the same thing. And then system alignment, I agree. But there's also, and I'm going to say this without knowing how to get there, the alignment is one thing, but synergy is another thing, and that is how do you, that's kind of vertical and horizontal working. And the reason I'm thinking that is I'm watching my grandkids do computer work, and they go between different topics on the computer. And they do it kind of with a flow of synergy. And so I was just wondering how to say that. And maybe there's a word that or a methodology that I don't know, understand. But it seems to me like accountability and assessment are the same thing. And I don't know that we need to add another assessment. We might need to collapse and combine some assessments. But Is that kind of where the discussion was headed, or am I out in left field on this?
You're not. This is Nancy and Juno. You're not out in left field at all. This is a perfect place to expand your thinking and thoughts like that by expanding the rest of our thinking. Certainly, the idea of not adding another assessment is something that I think most of us agree with, and combining or collapsing could be part of the rationale statements if we choose to put that in there. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Nancy, this is Sue.
Oh, go ahead, Sue. Thank you.
I just wanted to let you know that I was back. I did hear you, but I couldn't get the mute off my phone quite quick enough. And
no worries. Go ahead.
Going back and forth between documents. Could I just make a comment about this notion of assessment and accountability being the same? There are other pieces of accountability that I know the senator would view as important. You know, we've had portions of our system where kids can take an algebra class, for example, and get an A and even take calculus, and then they get to the university and have to take developmental math. So there are other pieces of accountability other than kind of traditional assessments, you know, accountability for the system at large, not just for students, you know, part of looking at you know, accountability for schools and school districts, et cetera. So I like this goal. I don't have anything to add in terms of language. I'm hopeful. You know, I'd like to just leave that to the committee and the same with the rationale for it. But I like the notion of accountability generally going beyond assessment so that we can look at accountability not only for students, but the system at large. That's the end of my comment.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Dina, are you online?
I am.
Do you have comments about number two?
No, not anything really in additional, just what Sue had mentioned. Again, when we talk about just in the multiple different kinds of accountability, but in what's really going to help drive this too is the policy at the state level about what that looks like and then that and what that flexibility that policy allows. But I agree, it's not just for students, it's for accountability of system, that we're accountable to what we give our students and what we say we will.
Yes, and I think this is Nancy and Juno, one of the things that I'm reminded about the April meeting is the idea, this is where the alignment came in, is that the as we go around our state, what happens in one area or one zip code doesn't necessarily have the same level of accountability or so forth as other zip codes. And so somehow the idea of access and opportunity, that there's equality, equal access, equity, whatever we decide to call this. It seems like that was something that was important to you all in April relative to this goal.
Yeah, we on that, we've kind of just been talking about it, about lowering the variance and, you know, raising the standards, having those standards high for everyone, but lowering the variance in our system. And because, I mean, honestly, we've all been responsible for a whole heck of a lot, but we really haven't been accountable to it or to, you know, own for it.
Dina, do you have that written down any place that you could email to me?
I'll do it right now.
Thank you very much.
Senator Coggill, just to add a word into the conversation, and that is consistency, because we talk about adequacy a lot, but consistency is what you're talking about there.
Yes, thank you, Senator. Kim Bautista, do you want to jump in now or you want to pass again?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, how about Mandy?
Oh, I'm here. Mandy, parent with the Juneau School District. I guess I've just been mulling all of this over. I like these topics that have come up, and that notion of alignment is so important, and I'm not sure if it's these systems. I feel like it is. That would, if we approach this goal correctly, and I'm sort of realizing how it ties to the other two, but across our state we have so much to offer in little pockets, and I'm just hoping out of this that somehow we can, through the systems view, align those or just make that, encourage that alignment also. So that sort of ties to accountability, and I do see that as very different than the assessment piece. That might be more within a specific district or location. But to me, I'm just still trying to figure out how can this goal really help us to achieve leveraging all of the good that certain places across our state are doing that have something to offer others. So that's, I guess, just a thought I've been trying to figure out.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And I think that's something that you had brought up. I think it was relative to goal number three also, in terms of some kind of system sharing ideas and sharing networking, that sort of thing. So possibly it may fit in there. Do you have another example, Mandy, of leveraging something that one community is doing?
Well, okay, so I guess it might have come up with goal three, but the way I'm looking at goal two with this notion of system, which we all know, you know, systems mean typically or in our wish that it's more efficient and effective, and that they do have that accountability baked into them. And so one thing is just when we look at arts education across our state, I know that the State Arts Council is looking at trying to identify ways to leverage cultural organizations or other organizations, you know, whatever, just businesses and organizations into what they're providing. So I don't know that that's a real example, but it's just that notion that our districts are beyond, we should just look statewide maybe in a different way to incorporate more of our community. And a system, if we get it defined right, might be able to offer that or allow for that. I know it's a delicate balance, so that's, I don't know, I don't have it clearly figured out in my head, obviously, but I feel like this might be the place for it.
Okay, great, thank you. So if I hear what you're saying, trying to broaden the definition of system to incorporate more of the community as well, possibly.
Well, just where it makes sense, and maybe that's a link into some of the other goal groups. You know, it could be.
Yeah, I'm thinking about tribal and community ownership, which is one of the committees. They presented out some of their goals, and I think that sort of synthesis is going to come out in one of their recommendations. But having said that, we certainly can and probably should make sure that we have, you know, reflect that at least in the rationale for this. So thank you very much, Mandy. How about Amy Jo?
Yeah, this is Amy Jo, here in Juneau, and I guess I'm kind of stuck in my head going from goal one, which I feel like we focused on that flexibility and customization, and what I read clearly in goal two is the need to align the assessments for student outcomes and that balance of the equal opportunity access for all students, but at the same time recognizing that not all students have the same needs and that different areas, different school systems. I want some local control, some local flexibility, and to me, flipping it back to aligning all those assessment pieces, making it the same, removes that local flexibility. And so I'm trying to imagine a system that allows us both, that yes, there needs to be some accountability, but how can we do that so that we set up a framework for districts to be able to be successful with their students given their community focus. So I don't know if any of that made sense, but.
Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Sue, and Amy Jo, I think you're right on, but there are some tools that you might remember from the Kinsey report that we've talked about previously, mm-hmm. that, you know, there was tight control on in places where there was underperformance,
and looser accountability in places where there was, emerging excellence, or, where they didn't have to have as tight a constraint. And so I think there are ways to think about both accountability of systems, not just for students, but of systems at both the, tight, loose, if you will, ends of the spectrum. That's my comment. Thanks.
And this is Amy Jo back again. So actually, in the comments that I submitted yesterday for ESSA for the state, that was part of my feedback was, recognizing the focus and the targeted groups that the feds require, but to take that, once the state has deemed the school satisfactory, that the satisfactory and superior labels get removed into just one blanket, here are quality schools, and then allow them maybe through those 13 essential skills or some other type of success indicators so that all schools can choose to focus on what they need to improve on. And yes, it needs to be research-based. It needs to be identified as something that supports student success in their outcomes so that that data can be collected and it can drive what their instructional efforts are going to be on. So there is some accountability in it, but just some flexibility, I guess, for the districts is what I'm looking for in that system.
Okay. Thank you, Amy Jo. Marcia, do you have comments or thoughts about goal number two?
One kind of, I guess, big picture thought and maybe one that's a little more smaller grain sized. Overall, as several of you have mentioned, goal two, it's huge. I mean, talking about accountability, assessment, alignment, huge goal. But I think it really is the logical next step after goal one. If our goal one is to articulate and define success, then goal two, I think, pretty much has to be, how do we measure it then and all that type of thing. And just a couple, I guess to follow up on that, you got your numbers 1 through 10 there in the middle of the page. I think that item number 1, a lot of that language could maybe be put into the rationale for goal 2. And then just a couple small detail things. When I look at item 2 about P12 outcomes aligned with, workforce agencies, schools, et cetera, and number 5, for instance, the line assessments from grade 11 to college, that to me is, that's aligning, I guess I'd say, the educational system with outside entities, outside of the P-12 system. I think we also have to talk about alignment within the P-12 system from one level to the next, from preschool to kindergarten or elementary school to middle school and that type of thing.
Okay, and so those transition area, those transition years?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Marcia. Chad, your thoughts?
Okay, I struggle with this one quite a bit. I don't have any eloquent words for you, unfortunately.
Oh, crud. We're counting on you, darling.
Well, I struggled with the definition of system, for one. I didn't know specifically what the system was defined as. Is the system the entire educational system of Alaska? Is the system the district, or is the system one particular school? So that, to me, was a nebulous term that I had difficulty wrapping my mind around. And then as I continue to read through this language for goal two, it talks about equality of opportunity and eliminating underperformance. And I think this kind of comes into my question that I posted to the smart sheet after our last meeting was for data analysis of school performance, et cetera, broken down by all of these different factors. And the report that Brian Laurent provided, it was entitled Graduation Rates and Academic Achievement in Alaska. And it goes through and it provides a lot of information and data broken down by demographic that's pretty specific. And if you look through that data, you can certainly see that there are some underserved populations which definitely needs to be addressed. And I think that kind of falls into goal number two. When we talk about equality of opportunity and eliminating underperformance, I think some of the things that we cater or that we come up with need to cater to that particular subset of people. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think that graduation rates and achievement, academic achievement report that Brian gave to us that we put on our smart sheet, I think that your point here, yes, absolutely, there are some underserved and underperforming populations, and we definitely could, if the committee wants, refer to those in the rationale section of this particular goal. Absolutely, we could put it in there.
My concern is student groups now that are performing high are going to perform high no matter what kind of educational system you push at them. They're going to continue to do well because they are, for whatever reason, social, economical, their culture, whatever it is going to make them likely to succeed no matter their situation that they're given as far as education goes. So I think that needs to be considered. And then moving on just a little bit, when we talk about flexibility within schools and areas to focus on different areas, I think that's great. I think schools should be able to do that, but there needs to be minimum levels of performance. You know, the state has standards of education, and those levels of performance need to be adhered to, especially for students that transfer, because when you transfer a student from one situation to another situation, there needs to be a baseline level of expectation for grade level performance when they arrive at that education. So something I was chewing on that as well. And then when we started talking about assessments, assessments are fantastic, and they show you a bunch of data, but the assessment is only as good as the response by the school district in action to that information. And in order for it to be most effective, it has to be very responsive. It doesn't do a whole lot of good to get an assessment and then get the results, an action plan for the results 2 years later. If we can shorten the time between assessment and action plan, I think that would give us some benefit as well.
Thank you very much, Chad. Do you have those comments written down that you could forward in an email?
I can't. They're not terribly coherent at this point, but I can get them down for you.
Thank you very much, Chad. That'd be much appreciated. Ivy, do you have comments?
Yeah, I have a couple. Gosh, I just really want to echo Chad's comments just now that assessments are only useful if they're transmitted, and done in a way that allow them to be useful to educators. And I think I wanted to add the words assessments should be used judiciously to this because I think that we've gotten so excited about assessment that we've been throwing a lot more assessment out there, but not necessarily considering how it is that we integrate it into curriculum. The other word that I wanted to just add into this conversation around goal two is transparent. And I'm really excited about some of the moves by some districts to make, dashboards public and information public, and I think that will help to improve credibility of anything that we end up creating as a result of this process to make sure that it's public, it's transparent, and very accessible.
Thank you very much, Ivy. Mary Siminski.
Yes, this is Mary from Sitka, and I don't have a whole lot to add. I kind of felt similar to Chad when it was kind of the word system, not really understanding what system we were talking about. And as far as accountability, if accountability by whom? Was it by the district, by the state, by the parents, by the child, the student? I guess I'm not really sure. I'm assuming it's the district or the school system as a whole. And but I, of course, I think that there's a place for accountability for all of the people, including the parents and the students themselves. And then I the rationale for goal two, both of those points that you had about the
disparity between, you know, different socioeconomic groups and kindergartners. I think those are both great rationale for moving forward on goal number two. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Sue. I'd just like to make a comment about the, you know, what are we talking about here? And this point is raised often, at least it is on the other committee that I'm on, as well as in ours. And you know, we can't answer it in a really definitive way, but I think all of these recommendations are designed to be something that could be facilitated at the state level. We need to be thinking about how state policy can then impact, of course, districts and schools and individual students, but our recommendations need to be how can we at the set policy at the state level that will facilitate that. So really, the recommendations aren't geared to individual schools or districts, but rather what are some things that could be done at the state that might enable this to happen and encourage that to happen at other levels. So is that helpful at all?
Yes, thank you, Sue. I think it is helpful. On the other hand, I also want to say that these recommendations and this language is actually being looked at carefully by superintendents already, even though our work is feeling nebulous to some of us and vague. But there's at least two or three school districts whose boards, school boards, are already reframing their strategic goals in the same format as the Alaska Education Challenge into those five areas. So they're already taking a look at, so even though, yes, the system is the state system of education, I think the impact can be local as well and provide direction immediately from this work. So I think that it can go both ways, I think. Let's see, Barbara?
Barbara Thompson here, and I'm tying back to some things that Superintendent Bishop said and Sue Hull. And it would be that I'm looking at the purpose of this goal is to create statewide policy to ensure that accountability and assessment systems are aligned with the student success outcomes, whatever those are, and they get articulated in goal number one. And then I see a lot of the other issues about access and equal opportunity and that kind of stuff going into the rationale. But the whole thing about these student outcomes, there may not be easy assessments for them, and it may not be easy for districts to find ways to be accountable for some of them, but I still think we need to have some statewide policy that wraps that up so that in some doable fashion.
Sure, and thank you, Barbara. One of the things that we find is that when expectations are stated, whether they're measured or not, when they're stated and districts then start to take a look at how do we incorporate civic education, for example, or how do we incorporate flexibility of student thinking, or how do we incorporate creativity, once those things are stated and directed by the state board, for example, as this is a goal of our state, then districts do sometimes through professional development or through curriculum or whatever start to move in that direction. So, and the results then may or may not be measured in the, you know, paper and pencil format, but certainly you can see evidence, and districts could show evidence that, you know, they have creativity in the planning process, or they incorporate student input into things. So there are ways to incorporate evidence, even though it may not be a result of an assessment in that particular format. Penny, you're the last one to go here. Do you have thoughts or comments?
Am I on? I am.
Yes.
Okay.
You
yes,
bet.
I was just listening to everything. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I have a million things running around my head, but I thought that we should look to develop multiple measures of student learning and develop multiple assessments that measure the success of that learning. And because the student data really should drive the programs and it should drive the professional development that would enable teachers to work on those programs that will show success in students. And I'm sort of thinking this through and changing my mind as I'm looking at my papers, but I think that when we measure and we monitor success and we use the data to either change what we're doing slightly or enhance what we're doing, then I think we are continuously looking at the education that we want to provide students. That's the first part of what I'd like to say, because it shows us when we have this these multiple measures, it shows us what is it that we want them to do, how are we going to get them to do it, and then how are we going to ensure that they understood what they were doing and we can move to the next step. So I think the alignment of systems and the accountability and the assessments are really important. And I don't know who it was who brought it up. I think it was Mandy and maybe Chad and several other people, Mary. I really think that we can develop systems that we can use the expertise that we have here in the state, and we can take those systems that we have and slightly adjust them for the needs and the expectations and the cultures and the lifestyles of individuals, so that maybe it's not one assessment fits all. Maybe we develop portfolios, or maybe we let students work in groups on projects, and each student gets an individual grade and then they get a collective grade. There are so many ways to make this goal number two, and I know I'm talking about the how and not the what in that last example, and I apologize, but I think that this is a really important goal that will make our goal number one, student success, successful, because unless you have the data that drives the system that you are putting in place or changing or adjusting, then you really don't know what you're doing. So the data will enable people to be more empowered, whether it be teachers or the state or principals or parents or actually the most important thing, it will empower our students. So I don't know if all that made any sense, and I don't know if I can collect it all back in writing, but.
Yes, you can. I know you can do it, and I'll appreciate it when you get that. Your comment that stuck with me is that we need to use the data to improve and empower the decision-making. Very, very important. Thank you very much, Penny. Harriet, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Would you like to comment?
Yeah, I would. Hold on a second.
Let me get this phone figured out. I'm thinking that some parts of this almost belong to the modernization and finance section, the equal access and opportunity. I'm always reminded of the big fight we have in this state for equal access to broadband. And what Senator Coghill said a little while ago, consistency as well as adequacy. And all of those things are impacted by, you know, in our huge far-flung state with that equal access piece. I think every single teacher is assessing his or her students every day and waiting for assessments, as somebody said earlier, waiting for assessments that come months later. You know, those kids have already moved on.
Okay.
And we need to acknowledge that assessment happens every day in every classroom and figure out a way to drill down and make sure that that assessment is accountable and consistent throughout.
All right. Thank you very much. Do you have that written down, Harriet, and could email it to me?
I can.
Thank you. That would be very helpful.
Sure.
Okay, I've got 3:02. We're going to take our last 10-minute break here. And during this 10-minute break, what we're going to be working on is looking at goal number 3. We'll be coming back with a similar discussion. Refer to your August 1st working document. Goal 3 is on page 4 and page 5. And I'll be asking for your thoughts about how goal 3 might be worded, if there's anything that you think might go into the rationale. And we'll come back together at 3:12. So in 9 minutes, we're going to have a 9-minute break.
Nancy?
Yes, go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, this is Jerry. I would like to leave the group with one thought before we break, and related to goal 2. All high-performing education systems in the world have found a way to control quality across the system for low-performing, mid-performing, and high-performing schools. When I read your goal 2, the essence for me is what statement can you develop as a group that will move the state board and the education system toward finding an appropriate way to control the quality of education within the state of Alaska? Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Do you have the answer to that question?
No, I just have the question.
Okay. All right, so we got 3:04. We're going to come back together at 3:14. And have our wrap-up conversation at 3:14. Thanks, guys. Go ahead and mute your phones. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're in the final chunk of our meeting today, and we'll be working on goal number 3, which relates to student-centered learning. So goal number 3, I'm taking a look at that. And I'd like to start with Sue, if she's online. And Sue, would you reflect, please, on language relative to goal number 3?
Yes, the answer, but I've got to think of my reflection. What my feedback is relative to the question you asked before the break is I don't have specific wording for this or bullets for the rationale, but I think it's well to include it despite the fact that, you know, we've talked about the fact that modernization is also making a recommendation relative to personalization. I think this particular goal focused on student-driven refers more, in addition to personalization, refers also to the notion of student interest, student external circumstances, student, all kinds of ways that we can adapt the system again back to individual students. So I think it's an important goal and doesn't conflict with the personalization goal in the Modernization Committee, and I look forward to hearing what people think about what the exact wording should be and the bullet points to describe why it's important. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. Barbara?
Okay, Barbara Thompson here. Possible language for the goal. Create a systemic policy on student-centered instruction that is relevant, experiential, culturally responsive, and inclusive of individual student interests.
Very nice. Thank you, Barbara. Will you repeat that one more time so we can process that? And will you make sure that you email that to Nancy and Aaron?
Create systemic policy on student-centered instruction that is relevant, experiential, culturally responsive, and inclusive of student interest, individual student interest, sorry.
All right, thank you. Let's see, we'll go upwards or backwards, starting with Penny then. Do you have some thoughts or comments, Penny, relative to this goal? Okay, we'll come back to Penny. I'm sorry, are you there, Penny?
Oh, my God. Hello?
Yeah?
Oh, okay, I thought I hung up. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I thought what Barb said was brilliant. I liked her wording and how she presented it. And I really think that having a personalized learning plan, and this was right from Vermont, the flexible pathways and performance-based assessments, really will sort of propel us forward. I think having a strategic plan in place at each school district, and I know that's a how, but somehow the strategic plan will guide school districts, and it will also encourage, encourage professional development and continued adherence, basically, to the system we're trying to create. And I'm sorry, I'm flummoxed.
No, that's good. And Aaron got it. So if you happen to have time to clean that up and forward it as an email, we'd very much appreciate it. Thank you. Mary Siminski, do you have some thoughts about this one?
Hi. This is Mary from SIPCA. And I guess I liked what Barbara had put together, and I also would like to echo, I really think that idea of having the personalized learning plans is kind of integral to the student-centered learning. However, when I was reading the attachments for the student-centered learning, it the one thing that stuck out at me is that most student-centered teachers, the ones that believe in the United States at least, that they believe that they are student-centered teachers, in fact, are not. And so I think it's going to be a major shift for the teacher themselves in the classroom. And so I think that would be my biggest concern. I know how do we educate the educators how to create it to be more of a student-centered classroom versus a very efficient, you know, organized classroom, which sometimes student-centered learning is not efficient and organized, and that's going to be a major paradigm shift. So I don't know, it's just a thought. It's not really helpful, I suppose, but I do like the rationale for the goals.
Actually, Mary, I think that's a really helpful comment. I think that certainly we can acknowledge that if the committee wants to, that could be something that could be acknowledged in the rationale. You notice that with the template or the exemplar that Jerry Covey provided for us, the recommendation to perhaps the model for the Safety and Well-Being Committee was that professional development be provided that would allow or encourage teachers. We could put in the rationale something along these lines, you know, that we, you know, based on in the United States and this particular document that often teachers don't know how to do this, or they think they're student-centered but they actually aren't, or we could provide direction to the state board and the recommendation that they develop models of what this actually looks like and what this actually means and find pockets of excellence that exist in Alaska where teachers are doing this, and those then can be crowdsourced into, not crowdsourced, but provided as examples and so forth to kind of the way that Mandy Malott was talking about, where those examples are shared with others. So thank you, Mary. That was
good. Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Dina. And I really liked, I wasn't sure who Nancy provided all that thinking. I mean that really is the crux of what we're doing at any of the ed research. It's about teacher behaviors. You know, that variance is about what teachers actually do, not what the way we think, but how we create those opportunities. And it's not about what we do to kids, or, you know, what kids do, it's what we do actually. And so, and a lot of the changes and the highly effective practices have nothing to do with content. So, right, well, interesting. It's key. And I mean, you know, if I had to look at this, I was reading some research, and it's about, you know, change. And I prepared a little bit because we use the term transformation, transform. We didn't say innovate. And I, you know, there's some work around those words. And really in the transforming, it talks about paying attention to the ecosystem of education. And that's really what all these things are, is everything around education. So we're not a silo, you know. So just my two cents. And sorry, I went out of turn.
No, it's okay. That's fine. Dina, do you have anything else to add?
No,
thank you, but I love the thinking.
Okay, thank you. And is that Penny?
Yes, it is. And I wanted to mention this because I think Mary's spot on. And we require schools, we should require all schools to have a development plan. And if they have that development plan or a strategic plan, or school districts, excuse me, I think we would have that professional development, because you'd look at some of those measures and you'd look at some of that data, and you would be able to train those teachers. You could train a cadre of teachers within your school district who trained other teachers within the school district who could then train other people in other areas based on their needs and their expectations. And if it were written correctly, it would really enable us as a state to have, and number 5 down there, it says, have centralized clearinghouse units.
we could have a lasting centralized clearing unit. There are that many people here who have professional development or have been involved in professional development, or their schools send them out to professional development. So we could collaborate across districts, across age level, across disciplines. Mm-hmm. What Mary's saying is really vital.
All right, great. Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Penny. Let's see. Ivy, do you have comments relative to this?
I'm struggling to articulate my my thoughts on this right now, so I think I'm going to pass right now.
All right, thank you. Chad?
Hi. I think goal three is actually pretty well done so far. I do believe that the idea of training teachers within a district to teach the rest of the teachers how to do student-centered learning is an excellent idea.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Marcia?
I don't know if I have anything new. I do want to echo what several people said. I really like Barbara's wording for the goal. It looks like, I mean, this one, you know, we have so many different ideas there. Twelve of them listed there. But I'm looking at them, looks like at least half of them are kind of focused on teacher behavior or professional development or whatever. So that's probably a pretty big thing here. And the other part of it, that kind of personalized learning plan for students, that, you know, that's one of those things we moved to another committee. So I'm just going to be really interested in how they, you know, put that into their committee work.
All right. Thank you, Marcia. How about Amy Jo?
Yeah, Amy Jo in Juneau, and I like Barbara's wording at the beginning of this, and I agree with Chad that it's pretty well fleshed out already. The only thing I would add, I want to go back to what Dina's comment, and I wish I could remember the exact wording, but it was about what teachers do for effective practice. And so I'm a teacher who works with families and students to write student learning plans, and it fits for this specific job that I have in working with these students. But I don't believe that writing student learning plans is the proven effective practice for all students to succeed. Do we have research on that one? So I guess my emphasis is not so much on individualized learning plans. System-wide, when I think about our high school systems, I imagine some of my high school teacher friends trying to write their hundreds of learning plans in a way that makes an impact more than their instruction planning would make an impact. I want to do some more research on that, I guess.
And I'll add, too, I she's correct in the information. I mean, I would say it's really about student feedback, motivation, engaging, positive relationships, all those other behaviors that just come to the classroom that really aren't about that other stuff are ones that matter. Yeah. So that whole, we talk about cultural relevance and, you know, lots of other things about preparing, it is how we, our disposition when we enter the classroom, more so than any kind of plan for a student. So I would second that, actually.
Nancy?
Yeah,
this is Sue. I'd like to third it, if there's such a thing, because I think that individual learning plans can become just a paperwork thing and then not be meaningful. And the notion here is you want meaningful, attention to individual students. And I believe teachers can do that, but if we give them plans that they have to write for everybody, they'll spend all their time drafting language for plans. And I'm not sure that that's where we should go either.
All right, great. Thank you.
Hey, Nancy, this is Marcia. Can I chime in real quickly?
You bet. Go ahead, Marcia.
I think maybe at least I have a different view of what I consider a acronym PLCP, Personal Learning and Career Plan. When I think of that and the way it was written into our state career and technical education plan, that's not a plan that the teacher writes. That's a plan that the student writes for their own learning goals and what they're going to do and all of that kind of stuff. And it's not necessarily paper and pencil. It could be done with online with the Alaska Career Information System or a lot of different methods. And yes, there is research that shows that students who have articulated their own personal learning plans do better in school. And I can try to find some of that.
All right. Thank you, Marcia.
And may I chime in on that as well?
Yes, go ahead.
That's exactly how I understand it as well. It wouldn't be a teacher developing, you know, 25 different plans for her classroom, and it might work in some schools and might not work in others, but their personal plan is basically, if you have a theme or a project or whatever, students look and decide what they want to do, what their interests are, how they're going to be involved, what they're going to produce. It really is the student taking ownership for his or her learning with guidance from the teacher and information and units and so forth. So it is, I think if you look at some of the research that I've read outside of what you've given us, it is promising in many areas. And maybe we need to look into it further.
Thank you very much, Penny. Harriet, do you have any comments relative to this?
Yeah, I do. I've been thinking all along that I know in the Anchorage School District, we have several schools that have always claimed to be student-centered. I'm thinking Chugach Optional, Polaris, Stellar Secondary, and I know there are a couple of others in elementary schools whose names escape me right now, but it'd be really wonderful to look at, and I know those are successful programs. At least there's a lot of parent satisfaction with those programs, and the kids seem to go on to be successful. And it would be wonderful to look at what it is they're doing and how that can be scaled or shared with every school. And I don't know why we're not doing student-centered learning all along anyway. Isn't that what school is about? I mean, who is it to be centered upon? The teacher? You know, the school board?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Harriet. Mandy Malott, do you have a comment?
Well, just a few things, but my number one thing leading into this was I got the sense, and this has all sort of confirmed it in a good way, because I think it leads to really good insights and conversation, but what is a student learning plan or personalized learning plan? It might mean different things to different people. So that was one thing, and definitely how it, I appreciated Dina's comments on that teacher development piece, and also the way that you articulated the ecosystem, Dina, was really helpful to me, because that's some of where I was going with that system piece earlier. It, to me, if we get that right, we can set that expectation of having it help facilitate and coordinate, or yeah, the coordination of that ecosystem. So this does tie back to the system work too. So those are just my thoughts. I did like Barbara's wordsmithing a little bit. I don't have anything to add on that piece.
All right, thank you, Mandy. And Senator Cockhill, do you have any comments on this section?
Once again, I'm going to be thinking out loud, but I like what had been previously suggested on the taking the student interest and the teacher facilitating. Probably the only thing that I'd like to add to it, and this will probably go to the benefit of the CTE instructor. I noticed that a lot of students don't even know what they can be exposed to, and so in amplifying student learning and the exposure, that could be experiential and culturally responsive, but there's a national issue, whether it's civics or mathematics, but there's also an international exposure that we in Alaska are continually challenged with because we're an international trade state. So I'm thinking out loud, but how do we get a a systemic exposure to the tools, whether it's a first grade, the exposure of the use of words, for example, or numbers, and what they can mean. So that's, you know, relevant. But then how do you expand the horizon, basically? And I'm just thinking out loud, but I'm just trying to add something new to the conversation.
Yes, and I think that's important because that gets at that number two goal of equal access and opportunity that, you know, just depending on where the kid lives and their what zip code they've got born into or whatever, and that certainly impacts perhaps the horizons that they're exposed to. Thank you, sir. John Klaus, you have some comments?
John Klaus, Southwest Region School District. It's been very fun listening to this conversation. I think Barbara's got a winner there. And I just want to say I also thought that the individualized learning plans were more of a overall document students would be involved with rather than teacher-focused or teacher-developed and somehow get the parents involved.
Great, thank you. And Kim Bautista, do you have some comments?
I'm just most interested, I like the personalization, engaging students, not only in designing their instruction and their that centers around their passions and stuff, but I think we have to help them to celebrate their successes, and not only their success, but the success of those around them so that they're part of that community and that culture of learning. And then I really liked about the teacher development, helping teachers to be able to model that kind of learning and innovative thinking with their kids, and the flexible pathways. I think we have to remember that the pathways for this personalization and student-centered learning is going to have to be flexible within our state because, you know, not only just our calendars and, you know, the learning platforms and the instructional models, but the spaces too, because, you know, technology just tears down walls a lot of times, and kids can have access to things that we didn't think was possible even a couple of years ago.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim. Okay. Jerry, do you want to chime in on this last one here?
No, I don't. I'm just appreciating everyone's comments. Thank you.
Okay. So what I'd like to do next is kind of wrap this meeting up so that we end on time. If you have not yet calendared, I'm looking on the agenda page 2 at the bottom chunk where it says next step. Our next meeting, if you'd calendar that please now, it's August 29th. We'll meet at 9 a.m. until noon. The focus of our next meeting will be to look back at what we did this meeting with our goals, and I will be sending some of those things to you as well as putting them on our smart sheet. We'll notify you when that happens. I'll get those done in the next week. For those of you who agreed kindly to email your comments to me, if you could do that, please, see, today's Tuesday, if you could do that before Friday, that would be much appreciated. And then this weekend I'll work on turning that around back to all of you. So thank you for being willing to do that. Also, please calendar October 4th for a meeting at the Denina Center. Hopefully you're able to come. I would like you as kind of homework to be thinking about bullets to add for each goal's rationale section. I put on the smart sheet on line 47, it says rationale statement ideas, and there's a box underneath that in line 48 that says in the comment section to the left of each goal below, please add brainstormed list of key elements or ideas. So as you, over the next week, if an idea pops into your head relative to the rationale, if you could put it, please, in the comment section of Goal 1 or Goal 2 or Goal 3, that would be wonderful. I will synthesize all of those for our next meeting, And the deadline for that is going to be August 22nd. So if you have ideas about what should go into the rationale statements, please put those into those comment sections on the Smartsheet or email them to me, and deadline August 22nd. Next, if you would like any information, presentation, article, data, research, etc. for our next meeting, please let me know before August 14th. And if you would like someone to review our work so far or respond to our work so far and give us feedback, I can make that happen as well. All I need from you is who you would like to do that. If you can forward that person's name and contact information to me on or before August 14th, and I will take care of asking them to review or respond to our work so far. Are there any questions or clarifications about the four bullets for our next steps?
No questions. Thank you. Thank you so much for facilitation. This was awesome.
Okay. I'd like to ask for closing remarks, and rather than doing a round robin and allowing each of you to participate in this, I will just ask for what we call a popcorn. So it's just a little kernel of corn that pops up. This can get messy in an audio conference, but we will experiment with this format. And if you have a comment now, a closing remark, please go ahead and chime in.
Go Alaska.
This is Ivy. I am so excited by the quality of the conversation and the content. This has been really fun.
All right. Thank you, Ivy. Any other comments?
Barbara Thompson, I just can't believe that people are so focused and with it after 3 hours, again, on a long audio. It's amazing.
Thank you, Barbara. Anyone else?
Thank everybody who chimed in and gave their viewpoints and shared their expertise. I really think some wonderful ideas came out of this, and I'm looking forward to reading more information and reading what we all said. Thank you very much for everything.
Thank you, Penny. Anyone else?
This is Marcia. Great group, and I thank everyone for all their ideas, and Nancy, thanks for your facilitation.
You bet. Thank you, Marcia. Anyone else?
This is Sue.
Okay, Amy Jo and then Sue. Go ahead, Amy Jo.
I'm just going to walk away with the common comments that I heard in Senator Coghill's as he's talking about the need to be able to have that extended exposure, the challenge. Ivy's comment in the very beginning, Representative Sponholt's comment about building the economy for tomorrow. I like the combination of those two comments. Thank you.
All right. And Sue, you had another comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone and say I am really encouraged that there's an emerging sense of, common perspective. When we started out, we were pretty random, and I missed the first meeting, but the second meeting was still pretty random. And I think people really are beginning to say, no, there's a common sense of direction, and I like that. I think we'll come out with good recommendations at the end. Thanks, folks.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment, closing comment? All right. Thank you. With that, then, I'll adjourn our conference call, and I will look for email messages from you. I appreciate your time and commitment and your dedication to this process. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Thanks again, Nancy.
Thank you.
host is exiting the conference.